Welcome to the podcast, Sis, I See You Too, a podcast exploring topics black women seldom talk about publicly. You'll hear it all here on Sis, I See You Too. Here are your hosts, Cookie and Sparkle.
Welcome to Sis, I See You Too, a podcast hosted by two black women who wanted to create a safe space for other black women. Our goal in this podcast is to help other people help us to be seen, valued, and heard. I'm Cookie, and I'm here with my partner.
It's Sparkle.
How are you?
I'm okay today.
Okay. You called me the other day, and we started having a conversation, and you wanted us to come in and talk about black women in leadership.
I love how you were just like, you called and there was a conversation. I was ranting and raving like a lunatic. I was so angry. I wanted to talk about black women in leadership. And as we were talking about how black women in leadership are treated, the disparities in promotion rates, you were like, Sparkle, there's a Harvard study. And I was like, I am going to go look this up and see what's going on here, because it can't just be my experience. It can't just be the experiences I'm observing. It is wild.
It is. It's true. So put it in context, right?
Okay.
There was a Harvard study, and it said that black women face the worst job outcomes as they increase in their climb up the ladder, they're likely to supervise wider teams. And because of that, it stated that black women hired onto wider teams are more likely to get flagged as low performers. And a new Harvard study found that black women hired onto wider teams had worse job outcomes in retention and promotion.
Yes.
So.
Okay.
The sigh, right? When I read it, I sighed. And then I got mad. And then I got sad. Because black women are the most educated group of people in this country. We have the higher number of bachelor's degrees, graduate degrees, and postgraduate degrees.
Mm-hmm. And it was funny you mentioned this study, because I'd seen the study on a TikTok. I know, forever on TikTok, y'all. But I learned a lot on there. And the woman was talking about how black women, often black CEOs, are brought in after a company is failing to rebuild that company, rebrand it, lift it up. They're given such a hard way to go. And once they've lifted that company back up to a place where it can be functional, they're shown the door. And in the conversation thread, all the comments, people were talking about how most black CEOs have to have doctoral degrees. It's not often that you see a CEO of a company without a doctoral degree behind their names. Where we can all see white CEOs, male and women, without a doctoral degree behind their name.
Sometimes with just a bachelor's degree.
Mm-hmm.
So it and the thing that's striking to me is that, you know, we have been programmed and told to believe that if you want to make it, you have to get the degrees. And I agree with that. But the fight to get there is what's the problem. And I want to give credit to the associate professor Elizabeth Ninos and her colleagues who offer insight into diversity and retention into elite firms for black women, because we get questioned.
We get bullied. You're saying question. Like, let's call it what it is.
It's
called
bullying. It's bullying.
It's professional bullying.
But it is. It's the same thing. And I've been in situations where I am a professional, I am a director, and I direct a majority white team. And if I make a statement, someone always says, oh, I'll have to check that.
Yep.
As if I pulled the answer out of the air.
Absolutely. All the time. We always have to be fact checked. There's always this implicit bias. There's direct bias. There's never a time where I felt, and this isn't even just my experience. I've worked with Black women in leadership, and I'm like, well, damn, why did you hire them? If you're going to question everything they do, if you're going to push back and not like, oh, hey, what if we try this approach? I mean, push back on everything they do. Why did you bring them in here?
I think it's this notion that, and this is what I believe, that we have to have a face. Yep, we have to have someone hires. That diversity hire that we can put in that position, and then we are likely to get kudos from the organization, the board, the community, because we are trying to check the boxes on DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
And you know what? A lot of times that backfires. I will give you an example of an agency I actually worked for, and I was next in line for a promotion. I had originally interviewed for this position. The position went to someone who was a more qualified candidate at the time, but I was next in line for this promotion. I interviewed and later found out that they had selected an external candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, if the candidate was a better candidate than me, absolutely, it makes sense. So someone hands me their resume and they're like, you guys were equally yoked and you were an internal employee. There's no reason you should have not gotten that position. I said, okay. They hired this person because they were Hispanic. They hired them as a diversity hire to the company. Let me tell you something. That individual terrorized the people in that company like nobody business. There were times like we would get emails and then we would get another email from a director saying, hey, I apologize that that person spoke to you all that way. I'm going to address that with them. Or I would have people in my office going off about like, hey, you better talk to her. I don't like the way she's talking to me. Like, it was a constant thing. Or people in the community would say, I'm not going to work with her. I will come to you. And I have to be like, she's my senior. Like, you have to go through her.
Right.
But because they were so interested in this diversity hire, it made my work difficult. It made the staff's work difficult. Like, it was just, you were trying to check a box.
And did you stay there?
No, I ended up leaving.
Because I'm going to tell you what the study says. The researchers examined administrative employment data and billing records over the course of 7 years for Black, Asian, Hispanic, and white women and men. Studying retention and promotion rates, that showed the largest turnover gap was between Black and white women at 8.9 percentage points. In addition, Black women were the only group whose turnover and promotion was significantly affected by the racial identity of their coworkers. I mean, that's your story.
And shortly after I left, the rest of the team that I was like, I had talked into staying, because there were all times where we're all leaving. They left. Nobody from that team is there. They left shortly after me. And that person ended up leaving. And people were cheering, like, why would y'all bring this individual in here? Like, what was wrong with you all? This person had a terrible reputation in our community for the way they engage people. But because y'all wanted to look diverse, y'all brought them into the agency.
Now, let me ask you this question. Were there other Black women in leadership positions there?
There were. But
at the time you were going through this.
There were, but the way they were being pushed into the leadership, it was more like, we're going to walk if you don't step us up. Like, these people had definitely earned their right, just like I had earned my right. They did. Some of those women are still in leadership, but I know they were given a hell of a way to go.
Yes. Yes. I know this. I know for a fact. And I'm going to say fact in quotation marks, because when you would look at the About Us page on an organization, when you get to a certain level, they put your picture up there. And there were certain organizations where my picture was there, but I was the only in that middle management position. There was, a woman, a black woman in the senior level, and there might have been two or three at the manager level, right? But it was that, okay, we have our one. And now let's take her and add her to our about page. So when people look, they will say, oh, yes.
Yeah, but your diversity hire.
But at the same time, any decisions you made were questioned. Any issues that were going on with staff, you were questioned. You know, your ability to understand a budget was questioned. You know, I once had a woman tell me, we were working on a project together, and she said to me, she says, when you see the little circle on the computer, that means the computer's thinking.
No.
She said, that means the computer's thinking. And it took all of the ancestors and Jesus to get me not to say no shit.
I would have cackled so loud that it would have scared her. Like,
I just, you know what it is? I think I've gotten to that point where I can keep my face deadpan. And I was just, I just nodded my head.
Before COVID, I had a great poker face. After COVID and having a mask and stuff, I'm working on it. I'm trying to get back to where I was.
Because when you had the mask, you could.
Right. You would just be like, what are you doing?
Right.
And
yeah, but she was. She was like, it's thinking. And she was taking her index finger and moving it around in a circle. It's thinking. There it is.
Why do it sound like I know that individual? Because I feel like I've heard that before. You know what? We're not gonna out anybody
on this. But the whole situation behind this conversation is that you have told me that you refuse to go back into a leadership role.
Mm-hmm. I have been very open and honest. And it's funny because people will meet me and they think like, oh, she's quiet and conservative, or like, oh, she just like cracks a lot of jokes. And they are really surprised when they find out like, oh, she's really intelligent. Like, oh, she knows her stuff. Like, I didn't just get here on my humor and good looks. Okay. Like, I know some things. But I already saw how you can get the vibe from someone when you meet them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working with this individual, and I could tell looking at him, he was like, oh, yeah, we get you in the leadership. And I was like, the devil is a lie. I'm not going back. And I seen what you get there. I don't want it.
Right. Because it is a lot. It is a lot of work. It is a lot of
A lot of saying cuss words in your head and saying, I hope my face is not saying what I'm saying internally.
Well, the new thing is, it's not bringing your authentic self to work, but it's about bringing your authentic professional self to work. That's what it's about. And the thing is that a lot of times companies don't even want your authentic professional self, because the professional self can think, can strategize, can supervise,
and get stuff done.
Without you hovering.
Right, the micromanaging.
The micromanaging. And it's done differently now. I've seen it done in the way of professional development. We're just providing you with professional development.
See, I'm not seeing that. I'm hearing about it, but what I see is the gentle pushback, or what if we do it this way? Ooh,
the gentle pushback.
Or have you thought about how the community would perceive this? And you're looking at them and you're like, I live in this community. I know what they say about our agency. I know. I live here.
Right, right.
You don't live in our community. And you hear what they say. You just don't care because you don't have to live here. No, I had someone actually a couple weeks ago say, hey, I want you to interview for this position. And I said, no, I was so polite. No, thank you. I appreciate it. They went back and said, please go look at the range of pay and tell us what would best serve your needs. No, thank you. Now, I already know they're telling me we will give you what you want. We want you for this position. No, thank you. You're not going to terrorize me.
Right.
I am in peace. Okay. Like, I am in peace. Me and my daughter are living our best lives in peace. You're not going to terrorize me. And I know I can handle that job inside out and backwards. And even the person who would have supervised me was like, oh yeah, she got this. She can do this with her eyes closed. I would love to work with her, but she ain't coming. So, you know, I'm not going back to that.
Now, what is the number one reason why you won't go back? Like when you really think about it.
It's a disrespect. It's a disrespect that as Black women, we are expected to be okay with. People will say things to you like the computer's thinking. I don't know what the computer loading means. What? Or, you know, they'll go behind you and do stuff or something.
The go behind.
I had to get in the car and drive off the property one day, turn up my music and just cuss and drive because I was so annoyed at my team that I was working with at that time. We had done all this work. We have been instructed to do this work for an outcome. We get there and then find out that the agency has decided to pivot in a different direction, which isn't the issue, but they didn't include us in that pivot. So we are doing all this work, wasting time, which is something I hate doing, mm-hmm. is wasting time, to then get to the point where I present you with these outcomes that you would like to see for you, but oh, we changed the course of direction. This is what we're going to have you do.
Well, you know what? The go behind. That's what we're going to call it. The go behind. I had a situation where the organization I worked for was having an event. And I had reminded my team that you needed to, you know, complete this event that was going on for the organization. It was a survey. And my direct supervisor sent me an email saying, please remind your staff to complete the survey. Oh, and here are some words that you can use in the email. And I just looked at the email and I was like, we cannot win. Like, we can go in there with the idea and the thoughts and the skill, but I still got somebody wording an email for me to send out to my team like I can't do it. And I think that right there is the, not is the go behind, right? Mm-hmm. But it is the micromanaging that is given to you as a way of, I'm just helping you. I just want to make sure that you're successful. I'm concerned. I want you to be well here. That right there does not make me well. Right there says that you don't trust me.
That part. If you didn't trust me, why would you bring me in here? And my thing is, they will nitpick the slightest thing. Hey, I didn't see you in the office this week. Where were you? Now, as a supervisor, absolutely, it's your right to hold me accountable. But are you doing this to everyone else? Or are you just doing it to Black and brown women? And half the time, you out in the community busting your butt to make that agency look good.
Right, because we recognize, right?
Right.
That they're looking at us and they are really, there is an expectation that we will be perfect. that we will know what we're talking about, that we will have all the answers, and we don't get the privilege a lot of times of going, of saying, oh, I'm not sure. I don't know. If we don't know, we have to say, I'll have an answer for you as soon as I get back
into that.
to the office. We don't, you know what, but it's very rare, because once we get more than one, two, or three of those, oh, she's not
competent.
She doesn't know what she's doing. She's not competent.
When you watch people fumble all the time, and the one time you don't have an answer, oh my goodness, you think you've been fumbling your whole career.
Well, according to this Harvard study, it says, and this was through Harvard Kennedy School, these negative outcomes may be due to several reasons. Black employees, and particularly Black women, reported numerous ways in which interacting with their majority white coworkers negatively influenced their participation and identified challenges related to their task performance, task assignments, and performance evaluations. And all of these factors can lead Black women to be labeled as low performers in their career and result in more turnover over time. And that's the truth.
Yep.
And there are several Black women, and I know one in particular who was smart, talented, had been interim CEO of two organizations, had master's degree, had a bachelor's degree, master's, an MBA, and her doctorate degree, and still could not get a job in this city as a CEO, and had to leave this city to now go on and do greater things somewhere else. She could not get it here in Rochester. And there are a lot of Black women who, unless sometimes you're working for a Black-run organization or an organization that serves this population, then you're more than likely you can get a higher paying job, because someone either you have a white ally,
mm-hmm,
who is advocating for you and giving you that professional development, or someone else sees you, white male will see you and give you that opportunity. But a lot of times as Black women, we are questioned and second guessed all the time. And it does not matter your age, your years of experience, or your education.
Oh yeah. Allyship is very important, especially the further you go in leadership, because if you don't have a white ally or other allies amongst the group, you're done. They're going to make your life a living hell.
Yes, they are. Because there is this, I've seen it in my career, where when I say that, you know, my new theme is don't go to work and bring your authentic self. Like I said, you bring your authentic professional self. Because if you act out of what they expect you to be, you don't get the promotion. You get held back. You get pushed back. Or pushed out.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you will get pushed out. I am currently experiencing that with a program that I help build. And, you know, at first I was like, I helped build this program. I helped promote this program. I've worked there such and such years. And then finally, I kind of sat down with my friend. I was like, I feel like they're pushing me out. And I said, you know what? It's time to go. It is time to go. Like, sometimes we hold on when we need to let go, even professionally. It's not worth the headache.
It's not worth it. And sometimes, and then you take all of that knowledge and you go somewhere where you're appreciated. And I just want to say this. Not all employment for Black women is like this.
Not all.
But for a study to come out and say the majority, this is serious.
I will tell you, my last team at the last agency I worked at, it was predominantly white women. And I went in and I was like, oh, Lord, what did I sign up for? It wasn't leadership, but it was a very independent position. And I remember when I first got in there trying to work with someone from marketing, and they were giving me a hard time. And I had to prove myself and prove every, you know, marketing technique that I had already proven in past positions. And my supervisor was my main champion, both of them.
Right.
One was white, one was white passing. And they were on them. Like, no, Sparkle needs this. Sparkle's already shown you she can do this. Give her what she needs. And let me tell you something. It was so scary leaving that team. But they were such great allies for me. They really, like, they uplifted me.
Right.
When I saw an opportunity for leadership somewhere within that company, my supervisor was like, hey, I saw this and thought of you. This is you right here. Like, she was really an ally. And she was talking me up to people, too. Like, yeah, Sparkle's the person for this. And when I went to my next position, I was scared, y'all. I was so scared. I was like, whew, I'm going to be with a black woman. I know the quality of her work. But it's a predominantly white institution. And baby, we got in there and we was rocking and rolling.
I know, that's right.
We have a very diverse team. And when I tell you, sometimes you know how you see people and you be like, oh, it's them.
Right.
We feel that energy when we walk through the hallways because we killing it. We are killing it. And I'm just really proud to see that other departments, like, we've created allies in those other departments. I'm interested to see where this goes, but this was like one of the few times being at a predominantly white institution where other white individuals were willing to align with this department.
And you know what? I'm going to say this. I have found that there are white allies and advocates and, you know, all the terms, co-conspirator and all the terms that we now use when somebody white says, oh, I see you. There's value in what you can do, and I'm going to help you get there. And there is a lot of that, but there's still a lot of black women, and especially the higher up you go and you get into those leadership roles, where we continue to struggle with proving our value and ability to do our jobs. Like, for instance, I make a decision or I want to make a decision. Somebody goes behind my back. I've had it. Oh, she's going to do this. So I've just learned to be quiet and do what I got to do, you know, do my job, but also be aware of the fact that you're being watched, you're being listened to, and there is this fine line that still, as we approach 2024, we still have to walk from all our other counterparts in the workplace.
Yep.
So let me just, so the study says, and I want to get back to this, retaining black employees in elite job is as important as recruiting them. And organizations, and I know that some organizations are interested in hiring a diverse group of people, because when you have a diverse workplace of all intersectionalities of people, your productivity does increase. Those studies are out there. You can go look them up. But they say in the article, retaining black employees in elite jobs is as important as recruiting them. Our findings call for increased scholarly and managerial focus on the long-term impact of conventional staffing and promotion systems that inherently rely on peers, shedding light on their roles and perpetuating racial inequities in the workplace. In other words, organizations, look at what you're doing when you're promoting people. And if you are relying on a white team to give positive feedback on your black women or other women of color, you need to look at that process and how you promote them, how you retain them.
And also keep in mind, our community, we fellowship with each other. We talk behind the scenes. Like I said, when I left that position, it was three people behind the door with me because they only stayed because of the way I was protecting them from the abuse that was happening at that organization. When I left, they were like, oh, there's nobody here to protect us. We got to go.
There's nobody here to be our voice. There's no one here to see us. There's no one here to uplift us. That's all part of that protection. There's no one here to say, you did a great job. There's no one here that you can feel safe enough to go to say, this is what happened to me. And it not be a, it doesn't come back and become a you problem and not a behavior problem on the other person.
Right. And I it's so funny because when I was working with this black leader and I saw they were going through, I was like, they'd be crazy to stay here. I looked them dead in their face and said, when you go, you need to give me enough notice to go too. And they just, I said, I'm not joking. When you go, I'm going to. Let me know. I'm rocking and rolling as long as you're here. But the moment you decide this is too much, I cannot do this, or I will not do this, let me know. I'm out too.
Wow. That's that right there. That says a lot too. Right? Because now you got to go somewhere where you can have that fellowship, that sisterhood, that camaraderie, that all the things that we look for. And a lot of times we don't get it. We just don't get it. And when there is a person who supports you, regardless of their ethnicity and race, when that person supports you, the opportunities you have to learn and grow and advance matter more to you a lot of times than the work you're doing, because you can do the work. Mm-hmm. It's having this support and network behind you. And sometimes as black women, we get it.
And that's the thing. As black women, we are so focused on uplifting. When I came into work with that black leader, the first thing they said is, okay, what fellowship can we get you into? And I'm like, fellowship? I just got here. They were already looking at a plan to elevate me as a leader, and I had just started. Like that, right. That's how we think. Or, okay, what are your, like, think about it. When you sit down with your leaders, are they talking about elevating you? Are they talking about your goals? Are they helping you plan? I just remember mentioning, hey, I have a consulting business. I haven't really had a chance to kick it off the ground. And that leader connected me with somebody who said, hey, let me help you.
Exactly.
That was it. That was, hey, I have this thing. I haven't had a chance because I've been so invested in the community. Okay, well, let me help the community invest back in you.
Exactly. And that's the great part of it. But I'm gonna add a little caveat to you that though. I'm gonna just say it. Not all black leaders.
All skin folk ain't kin folk. We know.
So we
know.
Just wanna put that out there.
We know.
But I appreciate you bringing this topic to me. You know, this is something that we have both experienced. Negativity in the workplace coming from
different institutions.
Exactly. So I just want to tell you, this was a great conversation. I appreciate you bringing it up.
Yes. And you know what? I'm hoping that the people who hear this are receptive, have some conversations about it, have some conversations with us, reach out to us on our Instagram page, Sis I See You Too. Email us at sisicuwdkx@gmail.com. Like, interact with us. Let us know what your thoughts are. If you agree, if you disagree, we'd love to hear from you.
And if you want to listen to our other podcasts, just check us out on the WDKX podcast platform. You can find us at WDKX.com or you can download the WDKX app. Go to your Google or App Store.
Oh, we're also on Spotify.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.